Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of naturenow@kptz.org.
Hello, and welcome to Nature Now. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and today I am really excited about talking with Maggie Baker and Susie Elbow. They are this year's AmeriCorps service members at Fort Worden. They're sponsored by the Friends of Fort Worden. And if you don't know about the Friends, look them up. They contribute so much to our community, both the human community and our natural community, and especially by sponsoring these AmeriCorps folks. Maggie and Susie will share information on what they have been doing and what they're planning to do the rest of this year. And we will talk about the Port Orford cedar trees. Port Orford cedars are native to the Pacific coast of the US, but only as far north as Southern Oregon, sort of around the Bandon, Coos Bay, Port Orford area. But they have been identified at Fort Worden as well. Before we do our conversation with Maggie Baker and Susie Elbow, let's hear this week's mystery sound. Maggie and Susie suggested our mystery sound, and I'm going to play three different sound clips. They're all from the same critter. I actually don't know whether this will make it harder or easier to identify the maker, but it's certainly interesting. So, Nora, if you would, play our mystery sound clips. Well, I don't know whether you need a hint or not. These critters are everywhere around our town and county, and I hear them almost daily. So let's now talk with Maggie and Susie. Welcome, Maggie and Susie.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And I must share that because we are still in the pandemic and we are still doing this by Zoom, Susie and Maggie are in the same office, State Parks at Fort Worden, and are complying with the requirements to be masked. So I'm sure we will all hear them beautifully, but just so you out there in radio land, if you go, she sounds different. Well, she only sounds different because she's complying with the system that we have now for the pandemic. So first of all, tell me a bit about the AmeriCorps program at Fort Worden and what it is and what kind of things you do.
Yeah, the bulk of our responsibilities here are around removing invasive plant species. So we're out pulling weeds all the time. Our latest focus has been a lot of English ivy. So we're pulling
I have seen that on my walks on Fort Worden, massive parts of English ivy being cleared up. Great, thank you.
So we're doing that. We are updating digital maps, you know, as we go to kind of track our progress, make sure people have access to that information. Sometimes we work with others on this stuff. You know, we will host or attend work parties that the Friends do to remove invasive plants. We've also gotten to do some planting, which is, you know, fun for us. We'll probably be watering those new plants through the summer. And the other part of our work is that we will be starting to provide some interpretive services as we get into spring and summer. So we'll be doing programs.
So that was Susie. Maggie, do you want to add anything?
Just that we've had a lot of great help with the English ivy from the Boy Scouts and the Friends of Fort Worden Trail team. They've also been a huge help for us with English ivy.
That's great. And those of us who walk through the fort a lot really appreciate it. It looks a little barren right now, but it's so good to have some.
Yeah, hopefully the new plants will be able to like establish.
How did you get this position, and what interested you? And
I guess I can start. So I moved here from Portland, Oregon, and I moved here because I wanted to live here. So I didn't actually move for this position. I came here first. And then when I saw the position posting, I was really excited to find something that was relevant to what I've been doing before, because I've been working in ecological restoration for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
This is all kind of a new path for me still. I previously worked doing software documentation in technology. I was a technical writer, and I went to school for technical communication and English lit, and realized at some point that that's not really what I wanted to be doing. So I kind of started looking for something that felt more meaningful and fell in love with gardening and got started taking some horticulture and permaculture classes. And here I am. Yeah.
That's a great story. Maggie, what about you?
So I moved here from Portland, Maine, actually.
The two from Portland. That's great.
Yeah. And I actually did move for this position. So I just graduated college in this past spring. I studied environmental science. And so I really wanted to look for a position that where I could do hands-on, like outdoor work, and also maybe a little bit of environmental education. I was kind of curious about that, but I don't love public speaking. So I just wanted like a little taste of it maybe. So yeah, I'd also been wanting to move to Washington just because I was really intrigued by the nature here. So this position came up and it seemed perfect. And I was able to secure housing, which was awesome.
Oh, really important. Yes, that's a good story. So, and it's like you're here, both of you have different stories, but for really important reasons, and that you're getting the opportunity to do this. That's great. Well, I should share, I sort of came across you guys because you put out on a blog, which you call Musings, which I just love it because it just sort of allows whatever to happen. But about, oh, I don't know, maybe a month or maybe a little longer ago, one of those blogs talked about finding Port Orford cedars in Fort Worden. And that just grabbed my attention. Sort of like, Susie, I too moved up here from Portland, Oregon, and knew the Port Orford cedar as a very special plant in Northern California and sort of the southern coast of Oregon, up as kind of as far as the Coos Bay area. And it was a really special plant. And to go, really, you found one in Fort Worden? How did that happen? So I was really curious about how you found them. What's the story there?
Yeah, so we didn't actually find them because they were Port Orford cedars. We often go on walks with Janine Anderson at the Friends of Fort Worden, and she kind of helps us with our plant identification skills.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of those walks, she pointed out this group of Port Orford cedars and explained that they hadn't really been officially identified yet, and they could possibly be Alaskan cedars. There are a few different like types of trees that people thought they might be. So Susie and I decided that we wanted to confirm it. And so we used this plant identification app called Seek. And that's so
fun. Actually, let me take a moment and share that with listeners that I discovered Seek as well, and it has been able to answer a lot of questions I had.
Yeah, it's a really cool app, but obviously it's not always 100% correct. So we did some extra research to kind of confirm our suspicions. And then later on, a couple local botanists were able to confirm it for us, which was really cool.
So tell me about where in the fort you found them. Where and in what kind of habitat?
So the two that we were introduced to first are right on Battery Way West when you're going up the hill from that kind of triangular parking lot in the back left corner of the park.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, and then you found a couple of other spots too, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a few at the top of the Bluff Trail, kind of near Memories Vault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one, and I think I shared with you when we were communicating by email, was up there walking with some friends and ran into friends who ran into friends, and everybody was heading to find fairly well-established Port Orford cedar. Anyway, on that particular day, you know, we all sort of converged to stand around and look at this tree, which is a really, it was a good sized tree. It's not an old growth tree by any means, but it was probably, I don't know, maybe 12 inches in diameter. And that one was just in a mixed, you know, mixed forest. I've looked for others, the others up there, but haven't found them yet. Is it a secret, or do you just need to ask people who know?
I think you probably need to ask people who know. Those are the only two groups that we're aware of ourselves.
Do you have anybody, any idea, or did anybody you talked to have some ideas about why they're there? Because it is unusual. It's outside their natural range. What are the speculations about why they're there?
Yeah, so the porphyrogyra cedar is an ornamental plant. So it's not uncommonly sold in like nurseries or garden stores. So it's definitely been in Washington for a long time.
A landscape plant.
Yeah, it's a landscape plant. One of the sources that I talked to said that he thought he remembered the mill handing out, the paper mill handing out porphyrogyra seedlings to kind of create a smell barrier between the paper mill and town, which is kind of funny.
You said smell barrier, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then when I posted the musing, I got a few email responses about it confirming that story. So that was pretty cool to hear from people who remembered the porphyrogyra cedars being handed out.
It's interesting. And I know there was a commercial industry based on the porphyrogyra cedars down in Southern Oregon and Northern California. They were high value trees. I think a lot of it was exported to Japan. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really thought about how much they might have been distributed via landscaping and through nurseries and the like. But another thing I was wondering, and I don't know what you may have encountered about it, is obviously the one tree I saw had been there for quite a while. And I'm wondering, with climate change, do scientists and botanical experts think that the natural range will seep north, or that some of these landscape trees will be, I don't know, more sustainable, healthier as the climate changes? What have you discovered about that?
I definitely know that there's going to be some range shifts of species with climate change, but mm-hmm. I don't know necessarily if like ornamental plants would be a good indicator species of that,
right.
Just because they're already being spread like really by humans. But that's interesting. I bet the populations in the park are probably in a better environment now than they were like 50 years ago.
Right. It's just sort of curious. I ask that question a lot as I'm out in the woods or out on the beach thinking, you know, how will things likely change? And of course, we don't know the answer to that. But well, is there anything else you want to share about the Port Orford story?
It's really exciting to me that the musing caused so much conversation in the community about this tree. I didn't think that people would be so excited about it. So it's really awesome to see, like, there are things happening around the tree that I didn't even know about. So the Washington Native Plant Society is pretty excited about it. So
that's fun. And fun that your musings, yes, you're right, that can sort of stimulate these conversations amongst folks. One of your recent musings talked about some of the strange and bizarre things you found as you were clearing the ivy. I enjoyed that one too. But which, you know, we've got a little bit of time left. Tell me a bit about some of the other projects you're involved with or planning, and particularly about how you're engaging the community. I think the musings is a great example of how you're engaging the community. What else are you up to?
Yeah. Well, at the moment, we are working on getting our interpretive programming ready for the upcoming spring and summer seasons. So we're going to be offering some guided walks, some self-guided exhibits and activities. We're still kind of fine-tuning those a little bit now. But I mean, interested listeners can certainly, you know, keep an eye on the Friends of Fort Worden social media pages, their Facebook and Instagram accounts, and those will be announced in coming weeks, hopefully. We're very excited to get out and be walking around with people, sharing what we've learned. We actually, tomorrow, we are going to be
heading out to do an event with the local chapter of the Washington Native Plant Society. I think they're having a sort of invasive plant work party, pulling weeds out in the Katai Preserve. So we're going to be working with them a little bit tomorrow morning, which is a fun treat for us because we get to get out of the park and meet some new people. Project.
And the Katai Preserve is such a special, I mean, we talk about that a lot. It's actually just across the street from the where the radio station is now. And, you know, the it's almost time for the camas to be blooming and the chocolate lilies, and it'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool that they were able to preserve that like historic ecosystem. Yeah.
So what else is on the future?
Well, we are planning to hopefully collaborate on some more events with the other AmeriCorps located at the Marine Science Center. We previously did an invasive beach grass weed pole event with them on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we'd like to do some more events with those folks. And that's always a fun way to get new people out from the community and talk about this stuff. Actually, I'd love to talk a little bit about one of the interpretive programs that I want to get up and running. I am working on a little tabletop exhibit showing a timeline of ecological restoration projects that have happened at Fort Worden over the years. I know there have been a number of different organizations and individuals who have been out here in the park, you know, pulling weeds, saving native seeds, and installing native plants. And my main goal is just to kind of put together a little timeline, you know, have at least a brief description of these events, maybe unearth some good stories and photos. I have talked to folks so far, you know, at our two primary organizations. We've got the Friends of Fort Worden and the local Washington Native Plant Society have both done so much work in the park. But I know there are other people and other little groups that have come in over the years to do work parties, you know, and organize other events. So I'd love to hear those stories.
That sounds like an interesting project. And I'm thinking from a couple of perspectives. One is just to know more about the work over the years and to appreciate what people have done.
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, even the work of just a few people doing a couple of small projects make a difference. I think that's a good message for us all to remember we can make a difference.
Absolutely. I think it's so important, especially in our work. People see us pulling weeds often and they'll say, oh gosh, you know, the ivy, like that's, how are you going to make any progress on that? You know, I see it in my backyard. I'm like, well, it's hard, you know, but if you keep at it, you can do big things.
So if a listener wants to find out more about what you're doing or to contact you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yes. So my email address is susanna.elbow@parks.wa.gov. So that's susanna.elbow@parks.wa.gov. And yeah, if folks have stories to share or can tell me a little bit about work that they've done in the park or photos from events like that, I would be so happy to learn more.
And then how do people get connected to the Musings blog?
They can subscribe to the Friends of Fort Worden email newsletters on their website.
Okay, so go to the Friends of Fort Worden website and subscribe. That's great to share too. Well, thank the two of you so much for joining me. And I just, you know, as the spring is getting springier and summer is coming, you know, it'll be fun to see you out and about too and see what you'll be up to. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
That's great. Bye-bye. Well, that was certainly fun. I just so much enjoyed the spirit and the excitement and the energy of younger folks these days. I do have a footnote to our conversation, and a footnote I've sort of entitled in my mind, What's in a Name? We may think we all know what a cedar is, right? They're evergreens. They have kind of flattish, maybe you might want to call them scaly-ish, lacy-ish sprays of needles. Well, it's actually not quite as simple as that. Our common native Western red cedar is not related biologically or ecologically at all to quote unquote real or true cedars. And the Eastern red cedar isn't related to those real cedars or even to the Western red cedars. And the Port Orford cedar is not a cedar at all, but it's called sometimes a false cedar, as it is part of the cypress group of trees. Well, this sounds confusing, and I'm not going to go deeply into botany nomenclature here, but just a few sort of comments. The true cedar, and its genus is Cedrus, aptly, all hail from the mountains of the Western Himalayas of Asia, Mediterranean region of Europe, where they are usually found at pretty high altitudes. You may recognize the names of the four true cedars if you wander through plant nurseries, like I do, or if you know something about landscaping, like I don't. They are the Atlas cedar, the Cyprian cedar, the Deodora cedar, and the Cedar of Lebanon. I've seen those last two, and sometimes the Atlas in really fun nurseries. All those true cedars have very thin, they're spiny, and their needles occur in little clusters along the branches. They're actually members of the Pinacea family, and that means they're much more closely related to the true firs. Now, another story that would, of course, exclude the Douglas fir, pines, larches, and hemlocks. So they're part of the big pine family. Many of the species that we think of as cedars are actually members of the cypress family. So as I said, it's an entirely different family, has entirely different characteristics. For one thing, if you think of cedars based on the cedars we see around here, you may think of them as being rather lacy, sometimes kind of scaly, and the sprays of the branches are kind of flattened. You're actually thinking of the cypress group, like the Port Orford cedar. And some people know the Port Orford cedar as the Lawson cypress. Very different names, same creature. It seems that somewhere in the long history of explorers and naturalists and sort of maybe the population at large, we started calling anything with an aromatic bark a cedar. The Port Orford cedars, the bark gives a rather parsley-like scent. It's pretty light, though. I would say, given all this confusion in names and family relationships, I guess I will just sigh and keep on calling the Port Orford cedar by that name, mostly because I'm very partial to the southern coast of Oregon, having spent many delightful times in and around the little town of Port Orford, and I can live with a few botanical imprecisions, much as I will continue calling the Western red cedar a cedar. And I will continue remembering its significance to our natural peoples. Well, enough for that little side trip down what's in a name. Let's go back and listen to this week's mystery sounds again. Well, you think that was interesting. I'm going to ask Nora to play one more sound clip from the same species. You may know, but that very collection of sounds were all made by the bald eagle. The last clip I added, the fourth one, that very high-pitched, eerie, strange call was a call of a female eagle. She's beckoning to her mate to mate. For being such a powerful and magnificent bird, many people think the bald eagle calls are rather wimpy and weak, sometimes maybe even sounding like gulls. The makers of old cowboy films and even more recent films and videos are known for substituting the call of the red-tailed hawk when they want to invoke the majesty of the bald eagle and the skies above. So if you think of John Wayne and some of those old cowboy films and the bald eagle soaring in the sky, two things. The sound you're hearing is a red-tailed hawk. They somehow thought that was much more impressive. And the bird you're seeing is probably a female, because the female eagles are larger of the two. And so it goes for this week's show of Nature Now. We hope you've enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about the natural community where we live. Today's sound engineer and editor is Nora Petridge. Thank you, Nora. You do such a wonderful job. Nature Now airs here on KPTZ at 91.9 FM on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. And on Thursdays, you can hear Nature Now at 5:30 p.m. And of course, always, one of the best ways to listen to Nature Now, the current programs and past ones, is to listen to them via the podcasts that are available on the KPTZ website. Thanks for listening. And this week's ending music, Cedar Canyon Roundup by Mark Williams, who is an American composer and band director from Spokane.
Dungeness River Nature Center is proud to support KPTZ programming like Nature Now. In memory of Dee and Beverly Swearingen, who taught their children and grandchildren the love and stewardship of nature. Dungeness River Nature Center, teaching generations about nature on the Olympic Peninsula at Railroad Bridge Park in Squim. More at DungenessRiverCenter.org.